The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Great crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and addressed them. If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Which of you, wishing to construct a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if there is enough for its completion? Otherwise, after laying the foundation and finding himself unable to finish the work, the overlookers should laugh at him and say, "This one began to build, but did not have the resources to finish." Or what king marching into battle would not first sit down and decide whether with 10,000 troops he can successfully oppose the opposing king, advancing upon him with 20,000 troops? But if not, why, while he is still far away, he will send a delegation and ask for peace terms? In the same way, any one of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. The Gospel of the Lord.
Jesus is making two things clear to us today. First, he wants us to have no illusion about following him. His path is a hard path. Our nature is fallen, and to get back up again, even with his grace helping us, is going to be difficult. It will involve self-sacrifice and suffering. And the Lord told us as much when he said, "Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." That is the obvious lesson in this gospel passage, and so we can never let ourselves forget it. But there's another lesson, too, equally worth our attention. Jesus is teaching us that following him involves more than feelings and vague inspirations. We're supposed to use our minds to put our creativity and intelligence to work in the great adventure of following Christ. This is clear from the examples that Jesus uses. He says that the builder and the warring king had to channel their enthusiasm through the cool filter of reason. And so Christians have to do the same. The emotional excitement that comes from a retreat or a pilgrimage or a special grace-filled encounter with the Lord is like the blossoms on a cherry tree. They bloom quickly and fill our souls with a sweet aroma, but then the long summer comes and we have to persevere patiently, following an intelligent plan of spiritual and apostolic work before the fruit matures. Love, even the lasting love that comes from friendship with Christ, is often born amidst intense emotions, but it matures through sweat and through suffering. And those can only be endured with the aid of reason and conviction and grace, but both of which go deeper than mere passing emotions. Following Christ, then, is more than following a whim. It's a long-term project that deserves and engages the entire person. It's perplexing that so many of us accept the fact that success in other walks of life takes hard work. But we think being a faithful Christian comes without any effort on our part. George Lucas, the creator of the Star Wars movies, Father Irwin would be thrilled, but he's not here, described the kind of work ethic that went into writing the screenplay for the original Star Wars. He said, "I grew up in a middle-class, Midwestern-style American town with the corresponding work ethic. So I sit at my desk for 8 hours a day, no matter what happens, even if I don't write a single thing. It's a terrible way to live, but I do it. I sit down and I do it. I can't get out of my chair until 5 o'clock or 5:30 or whenever the news comes on. It's the only way I can force myself to write. I work with a hard pencil and a regular lined paper. I put a big calendar on my wall. Tuesday, I have to be on page 25. Wednesday, on page 30, and so on. And every day, I cross it off. I did those 5 pages. And if I do my 5 pages early, I get to quit. It never happens. I've always got about 1 page done by 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and during that next hour, I usually write the rest." When Jesus told his disciples that they have to be like a king planning to go to war, or a builder planning to construct a palace, this is what he was talking about. We need to decide to take Christianity, to take our faith, seriously, enough that we are willing to work at it, to put our whole selves into it. One area where we often fail to utilize our reason and creativity is our own growth in holiness. Doctors are always reading up on the latest medical research. Athletes are constantly striving to maximize their performance. Professors never tire of refining their expertise. Can we say the same about Christians, striving to be more like Christ, advancing in life and living a life of virtue and holiness? Too many of us, I think, unfortunately, are satisfied with what we have already achieved in the area of holiness. But the Lord has so much more for us to discover and to become. But we have to do our part. And that includes using our intelligence and our creativity to identify the habits of mind, heart, and body that are inhibiting our spiritual growth, and to work on replacing them with habits that will spur our spiritual growth. One tool for this purpose that spiritual writers and directors have developed over the centuries is called the program of life. It's like having a customized game plan for spiritual growth. It has 3 parts. First, we identify the root of most of our sins and failings. Usually this is one of the 7 capital sins. Second, we identify the most common manifestations of that root sin in our daily lives. And third, we choose particular habits to form that will reverse those manifestations and gradually loosen our root sin's grip on our lives. These habits that reverse that are called virtues. The program of life is one tool, it's not the only one. But the point is that living a life of holiness and virtue is not purely passive. The Lord wants us to do our part as well. We need to stop being spiritual couch potatoes, and I include myself in this too, and cooperate with the Lord's grace. He will not do all the work for us, and he wants us to do our part as well. St. Augustine once famously said and summarized this whole point by saying that the Lord who redeemed us without us will not save us without us. Today, as we receive the Lord in Holy Communion, let us ask for the graces necessary to apply our intelligence and creativity to being a better Christian and a better disciple. All we have to do is pray, give it our best effort, and cooperate with his grace. He will take care of the rest.